we're pretty good friends, and we know each other pretty well, and he still asks me to fill his pulpit from time to time, and that always amazes me. But a privilege to stand here and preach God's Word tonight. And it's a privilege that y'all had warning and you still showed up. And so thank you for being faithful and being in your place tonight. I want to preach tonight about Philip. Philip is not mentioned very many times in Scripture, but he has this one, most of this one chapter here. And he's doing a great work. Philip is greatly used of God. And we'll find, if you read your New Testament, you'll go around and you'll find where they talk about Philip the evangelist, okay? I believe that God did that on purpose because to set him apart from the apostle Philip that we're dealing with now. I don't think those were the same two people. If you read the wrong commentaries, they will try to say that they're the same two people. Obviously, Philip and most of the apostles were used as evangelists after Jesus left, but I think there's two different people there. But Philip is a very interesting character, and I want to begin reading tonight. If you found your place in Acts chapter 8, in verse 5, if you stand with me out of respect for God's Word, we'll start reading and read this well-known story about him. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, "Then Philip went down. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." And skip down to verse number 26, if you would, with me. I'm going to skip over that story there of Simon, and we'll just pick up right here. "And the angel of the Lord," verse 26, "and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that thou that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, the eunuch saw that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Father, I love you. Thank you so much for the examples that we find in Scripture. Help us to learn from Philip tonight, and just take this simple message and do something with it in my heart. And Lord, do something with it in the hearts of these that are faithful to come and hear your word preached tonight. I pray that you bless each one. Give our pastor and his wife a wonderful time away in safety as they travel. And revive them, Lord, and bring them back to us safely. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, Philip doesn't get most of the Acts or the New Testament. God didn't use him to append any portion of Scripture that we know of. But still, a very well-used apostle of God. I mean, you think about what he's doing here. He in the first portion that we read, he went down to Samaria and he preached Christ, and it says that I don't see anywhere here that any rejected Christ there. A ton of people were saved. A great work for God was done in Samaria. Philip, we can't find any of this in Scripture, but we can go into history and figure out some of the things that he did. There are a couple of different accounts of how he died. One person says that he died through a beheading in a city. I tend to go with the next illustration because many of the apostles were killed like this. The Bible says, one account of history says that Philip and Bartholomew were both crucified together upside down. And we know that many of the apostles did not feel worthy to be crucified as their Savior was, and so they requested to be crucified upside down. And this particular account of history says that Philip, on the cross, upside down, preached so much to the point that the people wanted to take them back down off the cross. And they did take Bartholomew back down off the cross. And Philip said, "No, I refuse. This is it for me." And he continued to preach there. And even as he was dying, people were being saved. Bartholomew then was rescued and went on maybe to minister even some more. And so these are just accounts of history that we can pull up and that we can just kind of use to help us understand what type of man Philip was. And you want to die like that and be okay with it and go to the grave for your Savior like that, I'm pretty impressed. As a great man of God. But a few things I just want to point out about Philip tonight. We won't be very long. I don't promise to be shorter than our pastor was this morning, but we won't be very long. Philip does an amazing work here. He's preached. Many people are saved. The Bible says that they were saved largely in part to not only his preaching, but they saw the miracles that he did. It says that many were that were possessed with devils were healed, and those devils came crying with a loud voice. Those spirits came out of those people, and they were found, if you will, back in their right mind. And then he performed other miracles about healing folks that were lame and sick of palsies, and they were healed and able to get up and walk and just be normal human beings for the first time. Sound a lot like the things that Christ did while he was here. Anytime you start seeing Christ-like qualities, Christ-like fruit out of someone, that person right there is somebody that we can follow, we can take example from, somebody that we can set up, if you will. And we do it. We set them up on a pedestal a little bit, and we say, "This is something, youth, that we can be like. This is something that we can strive to do because this guy was human, and we can do it too." And that's all I want to do here tonight is just take Philip and his God and the power of the Holy Spirit that was working through him, and just kind of put him up for on display a little bit tonight. And show us a few things that Philip knew tonight that obviously made him a successful Christian, a successful minister of God. Now, yes, we know he's an apostle. Yes, we know he was in full-time ministry. But the fact is, he was just doing what all Christians should do. And first tonight, we can tell right now from the things that we've read about Philip that he knew his purpose. Philip knew what his purpose was in living. And that was found in verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. If you look over when he finds himself with the Ethiopian eunuch, one-on-one soul winning. Then Philip opened his mouth, verse 35, and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. His main purpose for living was to preach the gospel. And a lot of this was preached this morning, so I don't have to put a whole much more than an exclamation point on the message this morning. Our purpose as Christians, number one thing, is to be looking for lost people that need to be saved. Looking for lost people that need to hear the gospel. Looking for lost people. Our purpose is to preach the gospel to anyone that will listen. You know what? Philip is a Jew just like anyone else. And he's a Christian. He's come out. We know he spent time with Jesus, and maybe it was a little bit easier for him. But hey, he grew up just like a lot of the other Jews did that spent time with Jesus. And this preaching to Samaritans now, this is a new thing. But wherever he found himself, he was preaching Christ. That was his purpose. Verse number 7, more about his purpose. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. I think he knew his purpose. I think his purpose was to allow God to work through him. Allow God to work through him. See, many times I think we get to the place where, you know what, I just have to preach the gospel and I can find somebody who will listen all on my own and I can give out the same gospel message that I've given out over and over and over again, and it's just words. I can hand out a tract. I can even read the tract with them and help them follow through on that thing, and I can lead them to Christ, but it's just words. When was the last time that you can say that the Spirit of God actually worked through you to affect someone else? This is what, and I'm not saying we're going to walk around and lay our hands on somebody and they're going to get up and walk, or that we're going to have, but I'm telling you, if we're going to be completely conscious about what the Spirit of God is asking us to do, we're going to come across some really tough situations. He's going to leave us. He's going to lead us right into some really tough situations. Brother Suico is in the Philippines right now. He just went off with some preacher boys and went over to another island that got hit by the typhoon and was feeding them and ministering to them. He got them all together and took care of some of their physical needs. He preached the gospel to them, and over 100 people were saved. It's a wonderful thing. Praise God. But he gets back home now only to find out that some a deranged young boy had chased his sister down the road with a knife and ended up maybe not getting her, but some guy, I don't know if he was trying to protect her or what happened, but this kid ends up killing this guy with this knife. What tragedy. And I'm telling you that God will lead you into some of these things with the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, Brother Suico is the kind of guy that the Holy Spirit can work through him. And I'm praying this way, and I fully expect him here within the next week or so to be replying to me in some conversation that we have almost on a sometimes daily, mostly a weekly basis that we keep up with him. And he's going to tell me, hey, you know what? God led me to minister to that young kid, and now, you know what? I've given him the gospel, I've ministered to him, and God has come in, and he's a completely different young boy now. Whatever devil was there, whatever spirit was there, is gone now. Christ is there, the Holy Spirit is there, and now God can still recover these kind of cases. See, I don't know. Do we believe that? I believe it too. But the problem is we don't allow God to do that work through us. We think we have to face that all on our own. So, oh man, I don't know. Philip knew how to approach imagine standing there. You're just a human being. You're just a man. You're not Christ. And all these people are standing around, and here's someone sick of the palsy. What kind of faith does it take, and your the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and faith and all that, to say, rise up and walk? And God's going to leave me hanging right here? What kind of faith does that take? That's the kind of a man that Philip was, completely, wholly trusting in the power of God that he knew could work through him. And you know what? He stepped out and he said, Christ, I know you can do it. Greater is he that is in me than whatever's in that thing. Come out of him! And God did it. God did it. It wasn't Philip, but I'm telling you, God needs tools to do those kind of things. And Brother Suico's that kind of tool. Many of our missionaries are that kind of tool. Brother Rod's that kind of tool. Brother French is that kind of tool. The soul winners in our church are that kind of tool. Are we going to let our God, just like he brought up this morning, our workplaces, are we going to let God lead us into some of those difficult situations? Man, I don't know about this guy. Man, he is the most foul mouthed. He's the most... Man, I don't know. The only way he's going to get to him is through you. The only way he's going to get to that guy with his power is through you. And Miss Cindy as well. I love hearing her stories. She's always coming into the office and telling me a story about what happened at work and some of the ways that she stood up for Christ. And we have some of the same stories that we have. You know, one of the guys will come down the hall and he'll just ask me a Bible question. And he's bold. I love him because he'll come down and ask a Bible question in front of four or five other people. And then I get to answer it. Then there's six people there I get to preach to. And we had this brand new airman just come out of basic training and tech school. And he comes in, he says, yeah, right after I get done with my seasoning days here and some of my training, I'm going back down to the church. They have a program there. I'm going to be working. I said, oh, really? Where do you go to church? Well, I go to Church of Christ down there. I'm like, okay. So we know what the Church of Christ believes, and they add to salvation and those kind of things. And so he's sitting, I've got him sitting right there in the computer next to me so he can watch what's going on and learn, and I can kind of keep an eye on him and make sure he stays off his cell phone, you know, and those kind of things. And the guy comes down. And he asked a question about, you remember, I think it was about, apostasy. He said, what's the difference in apostasy and backsliding? And so I started preaching right there and started giving him a good illustration about apostasy. You know, backsliding is, you know, a Christian maybe still believing in salvation and still believing things the right way, just not living right, okay? And then apostasy, true apostasy is to say, you know what, I'm rejecting those beliefs now. I'm completely changing now. And, you know, so I got with that kid sitting right there, I got to throw out, like, take the gospel, for example. Like, you know, completely going away from the simplicity of the grace of God and maybe adding something like baptism to salvation. You know, I wasn't looking at him. I wasn't preaching at him. But I just kind of threw it out there, you know. And there's ways, and I think he was affected by that. We had other conversations later. I think we're good, and I don't know if he's questioning it or not. But, you know, you just got to let God work through you and see what he'll do in someone else's heart. That is our purpose. Philip knew his purpose, and God used him greatly. You know what? Everywhere that Philip went, verse number 8, and there was great joy in the city. Verse number 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. There was great joy in that city when everyone was saved and healed and those kind of things. Philip preached the gospel. He knew his purpose, to preach the gospel, let God work through him to affect the lives of other people for his honor and his glory. And then, you know what? When I leave, just leave joy behind everywhere I go. Just leave joy behind. When I leave, that person's rejoicing because I shared with them the gospel. When I leave, that person's rejoicing because they've been healed or encouraged in the Word of God. When I leave the church today, this person's rejoicing because I've been an encouragement to them to go throughout their tough week in living for God. And just, you know, he knew his purpose. And he lived it out. Next tonight, he knew his master. He knew who his master was. The Bible says in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." He knew who his master was. We know who the Lord was. That's Jesus Christ himself was speaking to Philip. Spelt that way. And then verse 29, we find the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, telling Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Let me ask you this, and I've had to ask myself all these questions too. But Philip knew who his master was. And we don't believe anything about lordship salvations, but you know what? He is Lord. And he ought to be in charge. He ought to be, if he says it, we ought to go do it just like Philip did. Go, and he went. Join, and he did. Listen to these three questions. When was the last time you did something because the Spirit told you to? When was the last time? Don't answer them out loud. Just think about it for a minute. This question right here is dealing with a sin of disobedience. That deals with the sin of disobedience. When was the last time you did something because the Spirit told you to? Next, when was the last time the Spirit told you to do something? That's kind of good. Maybe we're having to deal with the sin of resistance rather than submission now. Resistance rather than submission. You see, not only did Philip obey, but he was fully and wholly submitting to the Spirit of God. He didn't resist any of it. We're not talking about Jonah here. We're talking about Philip. He didn't resist. So when was the last time the Spirit told you to do something? And even worse, finally, when was the last time you heard what the Spirit was telling you to do? Oh my, what a terrible place to be. Because we know the Spirit is leading. The Spirit is leading. He is giving us direction. He is telling us to go do something. When was the last time you heard it? Can you hear it? So are we in a place that we can't hear the Holy Spirit telling us to go do something, to go fulfill our purpose? Or are we at the place where He tells us to go do something and we just... I can't. And we disobey. So not only did he know his purpose, but he knew his master. And then finally, this is a hard point for me to name, and so it probably isn't going to sound really right, but I put in way too much time and effort trying to name this point anyway. So just put down whatever comes to your heart when we get through it. But what I wrote down was he knew what his master wanted. And this is a broad point of the type of human being that Philip must have been because he knew his purpose and he allowed the Holy Spirit to have that much control over his life. So much control that we see in verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water after that baptism there, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. Now, I know the power of the Holy Spirit, not trying to get any of put anything against the Holy Spirit at all tonight. I know he can do and is all powerful and can do whatever God wants him to do, okay? But the Spirit can only use a certain type of individual. And not that the Spirit can only has so much strength, but Philip is an easily movable person. Pretty light and easily movable person. And I say that because he had no personal plans in his life, apparently. He had no extra baggage weighing him down. We know Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, lay aside every weight that can keep us slowed down from the race that we're supposed to be running. Philip had such a simple life. And I think we misdefine peace sometimes. You know, life can be very simple. In fact, let me tell you that when I was in Bible college, struggling through a freshman year, struggling through, you know, a night shift, a security job, and all these ministry things that were going on in college, and haven't been to school in how many ever years, and just trying to get back in, just all those kind of struggles, there was never a more peaceful time in a lot of ways. Why? Because you know what? All I had really was, you know what? I just got faith and I got to keep on going. It was simple. Life was simple. I just had to keep going and let God provide for the needs that I knew this paycheck wasn't going to cover. And let God provide for a little extra conception up here in my mind to get through some of these classes. And let God support, you know, just keep on stepping and let Him put something under me and keep me up. So let me ask you this. We know that we have, I've got a full-time job. I'm in the same place. I've got a lot of ministry. I've got a family. I've got another family in Everman. And just all kinds of stuff in life. I think God knows all that. I think He does. I think Philip just simply trusted God with everything. And I think we keep God out of the things that we can handle. And that we push God off so we can handle all the things that we can handle. And then we deal with God when we have time. The reason why Bible college would have been so peaceful is because I had God first. The reason Philip had so much peace and so much freedom was he had God first. God knew he had to eat. God knew he still had personal things going on at home. God knew he had. God knows everything. And you know what? It's amazing. Somehow the lawn still got mowed when I was in Bible college. Somehow all these other things still got met and bills got paid. And you know what? God took care of it all. Why? Because I was focusing on what I was supposed to be focusing on. My purpose. And the Holy Spirit was in charge. So what is it that's going to keep you from fulfilling your purpose? I have to work. I have to mow my lawn. I have to whatever. You know what? He knows that too. And He's not going to let our needs go unmet. It's amazing how God can take care of things. And I'm not saying we're not still going to have to put our hands to some of it. It's not going to be a miracle every single time. But the fact is, when our life is aligned correctly and the Holy Spirit is leading us through all of it, things still get done, everything still gets met, and God is in His proper place, and there is peace. There is a privilege there, and we'll never be at a place where we miss what Philip got to experience in his ministry. We all have a ministry. And you know, I've got a ministry too. Me and Melissa, we're going to be caught away to Samoa here in a few weeks. And we're looking forward to that trip. And there's going to be a lot of great things to report when we get back. All I'm asking for on that trip is for the Holy Spirit to just work through me and do something for those people and do something for that missionary and some of the other folks that are going. I don't know how God worked on your heart this evening with these things, but I know that He spoke some things to you. Maybe you're reminded about your purpose. Maybe you're reminded about who your master is and the place that he's supposed to have. And maybe, you know, maybe it's been a while since you heard him tell you to do something very specific. You know what? Go over there and join yourself to that person at the lunch table. Maybe you've heard those things and you've just not been able to get up the, hey, just step out there and do it. You'll be amazed what God will do. You'll be amazed at the fulfillment that you get in your life when you're doing what God wants you to do. And I'm telling you, He will bless. He'll take care of those other things that you're worried about. Is there baggage? Is there a personal plan that would get in the way of you accomplishing what God wants you to this year? Is there something you don't want to give up? Because that's more important than what God wants you to do this year. I'm telling you, from personal experience, if you'll set it aside and just sacrifice it for Him, He'll turn right back around after you do what He wants you to do and just give it back to you tenfold. Tenfold. 100-fold. He will bless you. He knows what your desires are. Why not just let Him meet them? Just be about the Lord's work as Philip was. God was able to carry him anywhere He wanted him and use him however He wanted. He just needs some tools. And look what He did with just one man. Look what He did with just 12.